Okay, the Gemara Ksubis, Samaches Amid Beis, in the Schottenstein Gemara 68b1, bottom of the first column. In the Gemara, it's Samaches Amid Beis, six lines in the top of the page. The last thing, it is interesting Gemara. The Gemara was discussing about if each girl gets a tenth, so there's 10 daughters, then everybody's going to get everything.
Right.
So Gemara says, no, you make a tenth of the tenth, and then what's left a tenth, and then 10, and then they pull it all together, and everybody gets equal. Okay, and the son also gets a certain percent. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Turn Rabban, Rabban, and Lut. Habanis, okay, there's two aspects. There's food, and there's dowry. Okay, these are the obligations the father has, if he dies, in the Ksuba, so we'll see about that. In the Ksuba, basically has to support the daughters with food and clothing.
Until they get married.
That's what the Gemara is getting into now. And dowry. Okay? So it says like the son of Rabban. Abones. Bein bagru actually nisu. If they became a begadis, meaning they hit 12 and a half and they were not married. Or nisu. Nisu actually bagru. Or they got married and before they got.
Son of Chet Amubay.
Eight lines in the top now. So he said, like, just came on time, by the way. Okay. Girls, the Gemara says like this. They get supported and they get dowry. Now, the Gemara says, if they became bogetis first, meaning 12 and a half, even if they're not married, or they got married and they're not 12 and a half, if do mizene sehem, the father doesn't have to support, the estate does not have to support the food of the girls. Not the food, not the clothing. But, le'ivdu panasasim, the dowry they still get. Remember, the dowry is like what 10% of the father's estate they get to bring into the marriage. So he said there's two issues. This is called mezainis.
Right.
Mezainis means food, clothing, and shelter. Parnasa is the dowry. Okay? So, divi Rebbe. Rebbe holds, this is what Rebbe holds, that if a girl's father died and there's an estate, the girls get food until one of two things happen. Either they get married or they turn 12 and a half. But dowry, they get no matter when they are. If they get married at 15, they're going to get the dowry, whatever that percentage is. That's what Rebbe holds. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says no. Af ivdu panasos, they even lose the dowry. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, if the girls hit 12 and a half, or they get married before 12 and a half, they don't get dowry anymore. Samaches amid beis.
But the 10
lines, yeah, 10, 11 lines in the top. So, Kate said, Nason, so what should a girl, what should a girl do not to lose the dowry? Yeah? She's turning 12 and a half. She's not married yet. So what should she do that she shouldn't lose the dowry according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar? He says, Seichus lem bailem, you hire husbands for themselves, meaning they offer financial incentive. Or metzian lem parnasas, and then, because they're getting married, then they get the parnasa.
The dowry.
The parnasa, it's the dowry, right. They get the dowry from the estate. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Amali Huna, Huna means Rav Huna said to me, Halacha Karebi. The Halacha is a Karebi, that when they turn 12 and a half, or get married, they lose Mezainis, but Parnasa they do get, not like Rav Shimon Elazar. That's meanwhile what the Gemara is going to look, okay? So so far so good, it's simple. A girl gets Mezainis until 12 and a half or she gets married, Parnassus she gets until later. If Shimon Elazar says no, she loses Parnassus also, unless if she makes a shtick of hiring a husband to marry her for giving him a few bucks, then she should marry her and then she'll get the dowry. And the Gemara says, Allah is like Rebbe. So Eisir, Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav asked the question unto Rav Nachman, how could you say that Allah is like Rebbe? That's what you said. That Huna said that Allah is like Rebbe. It says in a Mishnah, our Mishnah says, Yesem Sheisiyos Imayachal Midaito. It said in our Mishnah that we learned on the other page, an orphan that the mother brothers marry her off. with her consent, not against her will, with her consent, because of Bemer B'chamishim Zuz, and they wrote the dowry, only $50, $100. Yochayli Mishatagdo Lahitzimi Yodam. When she becomes an adult, she can force them to give more Masheroyli Nosinlam. What's fit to get for her, meaning like a tenth of the property. That was the average, the Gemara says. Meaning, even though she agreed to it when she was a kid, she did agree to $50 or $100 dowry, but the fact that she was a kid doesn't count. So the Mishnah says when she becomes a Gedola, yeah, she can say, I want more. So the Gemara says, time of the Ketana. The only reason why Amisha says she can get more because she was a Ketana when they got married. Hogadela, but if she was an adult, Vitra, she does waive her right to a dowry. Meaning, Amisha says according to Reb Shimon Elazar that she loses dowry also. What did Rebbe say? Rebbe said, even when she gets older, she doesn't lose the dowry. Right?
Right.
That's what Rebbe said. Reb Shimon Elazar says, no, she even loses the dowry. Our Mishnah says, she also loses the dowry. Because what does our Mishnah say? Because she was a minor when it happened, so that doesn't count, she doesn't know what she's doing, so then when she gets older, she can get the dowry. Which means, if this happened when she was an adult, she wouldn't be able to get dowry. Why not? Because she waives it. There's a question on Rebbe. Now the Amisha doesn't go like Rebbe, and you say the halacha is like Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Loikashi, it's not a difficulty. It says like this. When does Rebbe say, this is interesting, the Gemara is changing now the whole thing around, very simply though. Rebbe said she doesn't lose dowry. Yeah, when she becomes an adult, it's only when she protested about it. Our Mishnah says she loses the dowry when she becomes an adult, is when she didn't protest it. That means, Rebbe says, this is what the Gemara is learning now in our Mishnah, in this price of Rebbe. This that Rebbe says, yeah, that a girl does not lose dowry, food she loses. With 12 and a half are married. But she doesn't lose dowry, is speaking what she protested. When she became an adult, she said, no, I want, you know, if I ever get married, I don't want to have dowry. Then Rebbe would agree, that's when she gets dowry. But if she didn't protest, she was just silent, she's not going to get dowry like the mission says.
Is she protested when she turned 12 and a half, or she protested when her father passed away?
When before she was 12 and a half. At the time of the marriage, whatever, when she was getting married.
She would protest to the court, is that where she would make the protest?
Yeah, have to make a public protest. Okay, so again, so the Gemara is just changing the scenario. This that Rebbe says, okay, food she loses at 12 and a half for marriage. That's a given. Rebbe says she doesn't lose dowry. That's only if she protested at the time of the marriage that she doesn't want to lose dowry, then she gets dowry. But if she didn't protest it, she was silent, Rebbe would agree she loses dowry. That means this, what Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, okay, what did Rabbi Shimon Elazar say? He said, she loses dowry also, means even if she protested, she loses. So the argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, according to the Gemara now, is only if she protested. Rebbe says if the girl protested, she keeps dowry. If Shimon Elazar says even if she protested that she wanted dowry, she doesn't get it anyway. But if she was silent and didn't say anything, everybody agrees she doesn't get dowry. And the Gemara says, by the way, Hachanami Mistabit, we must say this. Why must we say this? Dimkain, because if not, there's going to be a contradiction, Rebbe against himself, Rebbe against Rebbe. Why? The Tanya says in the Braisa like this, Basa nizeinis min ha'achim, The girl is supported by the estate, meaning the father died, right? And the girl is supported by the estate. They tell us, Isin Nechosim. So it says like this. If the girl, listen carefully what the Braisa says. If the girl is supported by the estate, yeah, she gets dowry 10% of the property. Now, right? Now, Nizayin is in. That means only, what does the Braisa say? If she's fed from the estate, then she gets dowry. Right? If she's not fed from the estate, the price implies she doesn't get dowry. So the question is, but Rebbe says she does get dowry. Didn't Rebbe say before, now Brysa, that even though she loses food, she gets dowry. And this Brysa says that if she gets food, she gets dowry. Right? So it's in contradiction. Allah Shmami, we must see what's the difference between Rebbe's two dinim. Very simple. When did Rebbe say that the girl gets dowry when she protested? When she didn't protest, then she doesn't get it. Must the Shmami, that's a good proof. Okay? So the Gemara basically is saying, again, when does a girl get dowry? According to Rebbe, which is halacha, because Rav Nachman said, Rabbuna said, halacha is like Rebbe. If, before she got married, or when she became a begaris, whatever, she protested and she said, I want dowry. Then the din is, if she gets supported from the estate, she gets dowry. If she didn't protest, she doesn't get dowry. If Shimon Elazar says, even when she protested, she still doesn't get it. But Rebbe holds, if she protested, she gets dowry. If she didn't protest, she doesn't get it. What's the reason, by the way, of Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Why does Rav Shimon ben Elazar say, even if the girl protested, say that she wants the dowry, she doesn't get it? Why? So he says very interesting, the Mepharshim explained very simple, but very interesting. The reason the Shimon Elazar is not because she waived her right. Somebody would think, why doesn't she get dowry? Because she waived it. Yeah? Then if she protested, she never waived it. Right? So why doesn't she get dowry? So Mepharshim explained, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it's a different concept. Once she gets married, she's out of the father's domain. That's it. She leaves the father when she gets married. If she leaves the father, why should the estate give her dowry? She's not part of the estate anymore. But her marriage removes her. It's not because she waived the rights, didn't waive the rights. Because the Shimon Elazar says, even if she protested, she loses. She doesn't get it. So
after
again,
after she
gets
married.
Right.
Or she turns 12 and a half.
Well, or 12 and a half. In other words, the concept is very simple. A girl 12 and a half, or married, both leave the father's jurisdiction.
If the father...
I'll give you a very simple example. A girl, as a kid, the father can marry off. From 12 to 12 and a half, the father can still marry her off. Once she hits 12 and a half, the father cannot marry off anymore. Number one. Now, same thing by marriage, by the way. What happens if a father marries off his girl at 9, and then at 11 she gets divorced or widowed? The father can't marry her off anymore. Even though she's still a minor. She's still Ktana. Right? But she's still 11. The father cannot marry off anymore. Why? Once the girl got married, she's out of the father. That's it. If she's out of the father's jurisdiction, then you can't expect her to get dowry from the estate. There's no father, there's no estate anymore as far as she's concerned. She lost it. See, initially the Gemara thought that the whole reason why she doesn't get the dowry is because she waived the right. And that the Gemara said, that, you know, that doesn't make sense. Because according to Rav Shimon Elazar, she's screaming and protesting, but she's not waiving her right. So obviously it's much more than that. So she's losing it not because she's waiving the right, because she's just not there. The father is not existing anymore in her life.
Then we say she's 12 and a half, and if she doesn't protest, she loses.
Right.
How much time do we give her? 1 day, 2 days, 1 month, 1 year?
Right away.
Right away?
Mm-hmm. 12 and a half, she loses.
Like that day that is coming.
As we before.
Listen, you have that then in a number of cases. I'll give you a very simple case. What the Gemara is talking about here. A mother and a brother, the father died. Yeah? A mother and a brother can marry off the girl. Not against the will, she consents, yeah? But because she's a minor, so if the father marries her off, the Torah gives the father the ability to make a biblical full-fledged marriage, she needs a get, I mean, everything involved. If the mother and brother, or mother and brother, or brother, whatever, it doesn't matter, marries off the daughter, on the day she turns 12, she could do what's called miyun. Miyun means, I don't want to live with this guy anymore. Literally means refusal. If she says, on the day of her 12th birthday, yeah, I don't want this guy anymore, she's out of the marriage without a get.
Out of the father's too?
No, the father's dead. We're talking about the father died. So the mother and the brother marry her off, right? No, if the father's alive and the father, then the brother and the brother can't do it. If the father's alive, only the father can do it. But if he does it, it's a full-fledged marriage. She needs a get. Or kill the guy. Then she's a widow. But the mother and brother can only marry her off to the extent. Now, but what happens if on the 12th day, I mean 12th, her birthday, yeah? She didn't refuse? Yeah? She becomes a full-fledged wife that she would need a get. The next day, if she says, I don't want this guy, then she would need a get.
But before that, she doesn't need a get?
Nope. That, I mean, they write this called Shtar Miyun, this the document that she refused, that she people should
only
know.
Only on her birthday.
On her 12th birthday, when she becomes a Gedela.
So not before that either.
No. It's similar even in Dinim of a convert. It's also like this. A kid who's under bar mitzvah, yeah, Besdin could, but Bilan does Besdin. Gemara says early in Ksubis, sorry, or Davches over there earlier. Gemara says a kid, you can tell him al das Besdin, okay? But when Besdin does it, because the kid's a minor, on the day of his bar mitzvah or girl bat mitzvah, 13 and 12, if the kid says, I don't want to be Jewish, they're not Jewish. That sometimes it seems that you really have to ask them, do you want to be Jewish? But once they say on their day of the Bar Mitzvah, I want to be Jewish, then they're full-fledged Jews, even if the next day they decide they don't want to be Jewish anymore.
This is also with the court, though, or somehow.
Huh?
This is in public.
Well, it has to be... Are these children of converts? No, converts themselves.
Oh, like the 12 converts?
Well, you can have a number of examples.
12 years old?
Parents adopted a non-Jewish baby. Okay? Or, I mean, what you're talking about is the parents and the kids convert together. It would be the same thing. But let's say... It happens, religious, even with very religious people, some they don't have children of their own, they adopt kids, right? So on the day of, and let's say the kid's 8 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, I mean, they don't do a baby until like 6-7 weeks old, because they can't dunk them they're afraid to dunk a baby like that. But afterwards, if it's a boy, they give it a bris, they dunk it in the mikveh, the girl, they dunk it in front of a bezdin, yeah? And then, the kid's Jewish. But, because they converted as under bar mitzvah, and bas mitzvah, the day of bar mitzvah, they can say, I don't want it. And they're off. They're not Jewish. So what they do today, they don't say, that's why it's a very big problem. If the kid, on the day of bar mitzvah, doesn't live like a religious Jew, then it's a real big question on the conversion. Because the kid basically is saying, I don't want to be Jewish. Right? I know we're going off topic. Very, very simple. If parents are not religious, yeah? There's a very big problem today in the world.
But they may convert if they don't want to become religious. It's an issue.
No, then they won't convert them. But I'm saying, what happens, non-religious people adopt a non-Jewish child. They're Jewish parents, yeah, but they're not religious. And they want to adopt a non-Jewish child. But they want the kid to be Jewish. Yes? They come to Beis Din, to an Orthodox Beis Din, and they'll say, convert the kid. Please convert the kid for me. Right? So as a rule, religious Beis Din will not do it. Why won't they do it?
The parents aren't religious.
Technically, they can make the kid Jewish. Yeah? But the problem is, this kid is going to grow up and not be religious. Right? Not only that, on the day of his bar or bas mitzvah, they might not even live as a Jew. Right? So then, so basically, you're creating a very difficult situation. Either you're bringing in another non-Jewish kid into the world, right? Because the parents are not religious. And it's not the kid born Jewish, that's born Jewish. That's a problem.
So he's already circumcised?
If he is, so they do what's called a toughest tambris. They prick a little bit of that area to make it bleed.
I mean, they do that as a child, even if they're converting at five, they would do that.
What?
Prick the...
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever age they...
Whatever age.
Yeah.
If it's a boy, they need bris and mikveh. If it's a girl, just mikveh. Okay. Amalei Ravina Ravim. So Ravina said to Ravim. Amalei Ravada Barabi Mishmacha. Ravada Barabi said in your name, they said to Ravim, we heard in your name that Bagra, if she was an orphan daughter, and she became a Begeres, Ein Tzricha Limchis, she doesn't need to protest, meaning, even if she didn't protest, she's going to get it anyway. Nisas, if she was married as a kid, ain't tzrichalim chiz, she doesn't have to protest. Yeah? But, bagrav nisas, if she became an adult and then got married, then in order for her to get the dowry, tzrichalim chiz, she has to protest. So basically they said to Rava, did you say such a thing? Ravada Barava said in your name, Ravina said to Rava, Ravada Barava said in your name, that if the girl was a ktana, underage, and she doesn't have to, even if she became a begetter, she doesn't have to protest. Even if she got married, she didn't have to protest. If she got married as a kid. But if she got married at 12 and a half, then she needs to protest to get the dowry. So the Gemara right away, that's 1 second. How did Rava say, oh, what do you mean? Rava couldn't have said such a thing. Why? We just learned in the Gemara, when Rav Nachman said, the halacha is like Rebbe, Rava asked a question to Rav Nachman. It says that he asked the question that once she's an adult, she has to protest. Right? So how can Rava say she doesn't have to protest? How can you say in Rava's name that if she became an adult, she doesn't have to protest? Rava asked the question to Rav Nachman that clearly said that if she's an adult, she does need to protest. And you're saying no? So the Gemara said, Lekashi. Hard to come to Minayu. Meaning like this. When does Rava say the girl doesn't have to protest? When Mizayna Minayu, she's still supported with the brothers after she becomes an adult. Or after she marries. Meaning like this. After, we learned before in the Gemara, the girl turns 12 and a half, she gets married, the brothers don't have to support her anymore. Right? But what happens if they want to? It's their sister. They said, you know what? We're gonna continue to support you. You turn 12 and a half, we're still gonna continue to support you. You got married, we're still going to continue to support you. Then, she'll get her dowry even if she doesn't protest. Because she said, why do I have to protest? They're supporting me. So for sure I get my dowry. Your dowry is stronger than the food. Because Rabbi said food she loses and the dowry she gets. So that's what Gemara, it's not a contradiction. When does Rava say that if she became an adult or got married, she does not have to protest to, and she still gets the dowry? That's when the family is still supporting her. But if the family stopped supporting her as soon as she got married or as soon as she reached 12 and a half, then the halacha is the only way she's going to get the dowry is if she protests.
So if they support her one day after 12 and a half?
No, if the brother said, we're going to continue to support you. In other words, like this. The lack of protest seems to be an admission. Admission. Here, the girl says like this. You know, they're supporting me, which they don't have to. Why should I rock the boat? So it doesn't mean admission. Yeah? I'll give you another din of where this applies. If I say in Besdin, tell you in Besdin, in front of a court, they say, you owe me $100. And you're quiet? Yeah? Silence is admission. Silence is admission. I'm telling you in court in front of judges, you owe me $100, and you're quiet. So, obviously you're admitting that that's true. Right? But if I see you in the street, they say, hey, you know you owe me $100, and you ignore me, it doesn't mean you're admitting. It means you're not even going to bother answering me. Right? So sometimes it depends on the context, so to speak. Sometimes silence is admission. For instance, when it's an official court, you know, that if you're silent, that obviously means that you admit it. And sometimes silence means, I only think you don't even exist, so I'm ignoring you. Ignoring is not admission. In Besdin, you can't ignore somebody. Somebody in Besdin says you owe me money, you can't ignore it. Right? It's just not, you can't do it. So then there's admission. So the Gemara says like this. When is her not protesting that she wants the dowry? That's only when she's not supported by them anyway. So if she really wanted the dowry, she would protest. If she didn't, that means she basically forgives it. Right? Then it's, the silence is admission.
And this under 12-year-old girl supposed to
know. Let me just finish one thing. So now though, when she's fed by them afterwards, the fact that she's silent and not demanding the dowry doesn't mean she's waiving the rights. I mean, she doesn't want, they're doing something they don't have to even do to her. They're supporting what she rocked the boat. So that is not a sign of admission. You're right. How does a 12-year-old kid know all this? They knew.
But Beit Din has a responsibility to
inform them. Yeah, would inform them, talk to them, yeah. For orphans, Bechlau, Besdin set up an apotropis.
Conservatory.
Administrator.
Yeah. Until not Baron Bas Mitzvah. Until they're old enough to function on their own, like 18 or 20, whatever the age would be. Mm-hmm. So Besdin was the father of, the Rambam says, the Besdin was the father of the orphans. So Besdin would argue for them and talk for them, yeah.
Thanks for clarifying.
It's important.
Where's Danny?
She is coming also. Okay. Amir Avon Amir Rabbi. So Avon is the name of Rabbi. And right now the Gemara is not sure what it means. But this is what the Gemara says. Parnasa is not a stipulation of the Ksuba. Food, the Gemara is going to explain. Food and clothing and shelter is a stipulation of the Ksuba. Parnasa is not. But we don't know yet what that means. So the Gemara says, my Ainik Knight, so what do you mean it's not like the, what do you mean it's not a stipulation of the Ksuba? If you're telling me The dowry she could be seized even from the property sold. Utanag suba loita from Meshabda, but the condition of the suba cannot be grabbed from sold properties. Okay, it sounds like this. Another very simple din. If I lend you money, okay, if I lend you $1,000, everything I own is collateral, and there's a lien on all my property. Correct? Now, I'm not going into all the din, but if I lend you $1,000 in a document, where witnesses signed, okay? So let's say we'll use the English dates for this. January 1st, 2018, I lent you $1,000, we wrote a document, two witnesses signed. That makes a lien on everything I own.
Not you, the other person.
Hmm?
The other person, not you. You're lending.
Right. You're, okay, right.
The person that borrowed.
There's a lien on everything you own. Okay. Now, if on March 1st, 2 months later, you sold the property to somebody. Yeah? You sold the property to somebody. I come to you for $1,000. You don't have the money. I can go, if you have no money available, I can go to the one that bought your land and take it away from him. Why? Because my lien started January 1st. And you sold it March 1st. If you sold it December 1st, then there's no lien on the property because it was sold before the debt. Okay? Now.
But you have to compensate the guy when you take it back.
That, yeah, well, you're going to have to pay. It depends if you want to hide it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you just take it, you know.
No, as far as I'm concerned, I take it. The guy goes back to you and fights it out with you. That's not my business. Okay? I can take the land. Oh, not the whole land. $1,000
of the land.
Okay? Now, in the ksuba, for instance, what the woman collects the ksuba, by the way, it says in the ksuba, in the text of the ksuba in Aramaic, everything that the chosin owns, even the shirt off his back, is collateral for this ksuba from this day and onward. From this day on. That means if the ksuba was written January 1st, 2018, yeah? Any property that the husband sold to anybody after that date, even 5 years later, doesn't matter. Property that he had, any property, the woman can go, if there's no money in the estate, she can go to that guy and take away the land.
To collect the kesuva.
He wants to collect the kesuva.
Yeah. Now, the obligation of dowry is an obligation of the ksuba, so to speak. Yeah? So the din is, parnasa dowry, she can, if this is what the Gemara means, meaning it's not exactly part of the condition, the stipulations of the ksuba. The actual ksuba, she collects even from the field sold, right? But one of the stipulations in the ksuba is that the daughter gets fed from the estate. The daughter gets fed from the estate. What happens if the estate was sold? There's no estate left. She cannot go to the buyers and take away that land.
She can't?
Cannot. But Pandasa, the Gemara says, is this what you mean? That it's not a stipulation in the ksuba? Because by the ksuba, meaning the food, the stipulation in the ksuba, she cannot go to buyers. And is this Parnassi? Yeah, you could. So he says, we learned that already somewhere else. He says, Hamaisim b'chol yayim, the Gemara says, every day there's stories. Meitzian le Parnassa, we extract, for the dowry, we extract money from the buyers of the fields. Meitzian le Mezainis, and we don't take out for food. So therefore, this cannot be what's he teaching me. So the Vuna comes along, the name of Rabbi, and says, Parnassa is not like a ksuba. if he means that the ksuba you don't collect from the buyers and the parnasa, the dowry you do, we don't need him to tell me that. So what it means is, the il elo, dilo parnasa, gavi nami mitautu. Dowry you can even collect from the movable estates, movable assets. Or tanai ksuba, and the din is, the tanai ksuba, the food and the ksuba and all that, you can collect only from land, not from tangible items, not from movable assets. Okay? In other words, the ksuba is not collected from movable items. So then any stipulation in the ksuba cannot be collected from tangible items, tangible assets, only from land. So the Gemara says, parnasa, because it's not ksuba, it's dowry that the father has to give. You can even collect it from tangible assets. But ksuba, you can only collect from land, not from tangible assets.
How do we learn that you can't do prometalkalin? Because
the Gemara said that a while ago. And it brings down over the bottom, Nun Dalet Amid Veiz, and Nun Hei Amid Aleph. The Gemara says over there, that the ksuba is only, that you cannot collect it from, you can only collect it from karka, not from metaltolin. So Gemara said, maybe that's what he meant. Ksuba, like the food, you cannot collect from tangible assets, only from land. And parnasa dowry you could get from the movable items, because not like the ksuba. Mar said, no, it doesn't mean that. Because the Rabbi, because according to Rabbi, both of them can collect. Because Rabbi said, echon nechosim sheesh lamachrayis, meaning either land, or nechosim sheena achrayis, or tangible items, meitzien lemezayne ishiv alban divrei Rabbi. The Gemara said, this that we said before, that ksuba cannot be collected from tangible assets. Rabbi disagrees with that. Rabbi himself says he could. So then why, what's the difference between parnasa, dowry, and the ksuba? Rav Huna says, in the name of Rabbi, that parnasa, dowry is not ksuba, right? So Gemara is saying, what does that mean? So first the Gemara said about collecting from land, the Gemara said, no, that we know that already. Gemara said, okay, this you can collect from movable assets, this not. Gemara said, we also know that. It's not true. Rabbi says, a ksuba could be collected even from movable assets. So Gemara answers like this. Elam. Okay, we'll just finish this up. Elmar panasa ainit kanai ksuba. The katanya means like this. What is it referring to? Ha'ema yizuna b'naisa minuchosov. If a father says, before he dies, I don't want my daughters to be sustained from my estate. Ain't shamefully, you don't listen to him. Because there's an obligation to feed the daughters after he dies. But, if the father says, my daughter should not get dowry after I die, then you do listen to him. And that's what it means. It's not like the ksuba. The opposite. You know, the parnasa is even worse than the food. If a father, the Gemara said, this is what it means. Dowry is not like the ksuba. What does it mean, not like the ksuba? If the father says, because it's an obligation in the ksuba, a father says, before he dies, I don't want my daughters to get supported from the estate, the din is, you don't listen to them, they get supported anyway from the estate. If the father says, I don't want my kids, my daughter to get dowry from the estate, you listen to him. Why? Because that's not an obligation of the ksuba. The obligation of the ksuba, the father can't change. But an obligation that's not ksuba, it's just whatever, the father has a right to change it.
Now, if one daughter was already married and he gave a dowry, and then other ones are later, he can still, well, his wife said, I'm not going to give any more?
Yep. Because even though he said it orally, but the din is when a guy dies, before he dies, whatever he says orally is like written binding. And he says, he explains at the bottom from Rashi, Rashi says dowry is not an obligation of the father, it's an obligation of the heirs. And therefore the father says, I don't want you to do it. They don't have to do it. Okay, leave it here.